The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Hello and welcome back to The Punt. No football to look at this week until the international stuff starts later on in the week. So we're going to look at some of the outright markets instead. And my name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio is, once again, Mr. Lee Phelps. Hi, Lee.
Hi, I'm great, thank you. Yeah, really good. And even when it does start up, it's England San Marino, isn't it?
That's the quality you want to see.
Yeah, I know. You just get going, don't you, with the Premier League, and then they do this to us again. Yeah. It just doesn't quite get going, does it, ever at the start of the season, all these international breaks. But, you know, there you go.
Yeah.
What can we do?
Well, what we can do
is
we can assess the season so far.
Let's do that.
And try and make some logical cases for betting on the outright markets. Mm-hmm. So we picked out quite a few. We've got about six or seven markets to go through. Starting with, in fact, do you want to look back at the weekend first? Should we do that?
Yeah, have a look back, yeah. It was pretty steady, wasn't it, really? It wasn't like one of your kind of more explosive weekends. I think the results by and large were, as you know, kind of you expect, only one away win all weekend, which was the Man City win at Aston Villa, which even that was a late one. I think Chelsea Arsenal, I think it was fairly predictable that. They're just so strong, Chelsea, when they come up against Arsenal. I think Chelsea, The worst thing for an Arsenal fan, I imagine, playing Chelsea is Chelsea just emphasise everything that Arsenal haven't got.
Massive.
Strength.
Yeah.
Power. Commitment. Leadership. It really crystallises everything that Arsenal are deficient in.
That must be the
most annoying. That's why Wenger gets so annoyed, I reckon.
Yeah. Wenger's record against Mourinho as well. That must really irritate him. Like you say, it just shows the difference between a title winning side or team capable and why Arsenal fall short every year.
Yeah.
And it's, if you looked at the role of Oscar yesterday, where he was dropping in and helping the back four for Chelsea, all the little niggly tackles to slow things down.
Yeah.
And it just that little bit of, I don't know, maybe more streetwise in terms of a title challenge and what you need to do to win big games, and
exactly
sums it up.
Yeah, I completely agree. I thought Liverpool and Man United both kind of inched across the line, both winning 2-1. Two of the, you know, we'll talk about them as far as who's in the top four come the end of the season. Thought Leicester should have won their game against Burnley. But yeah, one for the notebook is I've been talking about Wilfried Bony scoring all season long. He finally got his first Premier League goal of the season. I mean, he's had loads of opportunities this season, just hasn't been able to find the back of the net. Been playing really well. All his teammates have been talking about how he's never looked sharper. I think it's worth keeping him on your side now for a few weeks. They're at Stoke next, Swansea. Mm. At the moment, we haven't got goalscorer markets because the game isn't until the 19th of October. They have got plenty of markets, but no goal scorers. But I think he'll be a decent-ish price, Bony. So I think that's a nice one to get involved in. He's a good player. He's a bit of a streak scorer as well. So I think he might start to get on the end of a few now. Bony any time for the game against Stoke is worth putting in. If you have a notebook, then put it in your notebook.
Yeah.
Or an imaginary notebook.
Yeah. Or just remember it.
Just remember it. If you're capable of doing that for 2 weeks, remember it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it. I'm a massive fan of goal scorer betting. We managed to land Sacco scoring for West Ham, which was, I think it was 7-5 at home. That's a crazy price.
Hmm.
His shot to goal ratio is brilliant. Obviously, Aguero scored as well. Costa scored. You know, I think, you know, when these teams are playing, you know, lesser sides, I think, you know, rather than going for outrights, I'd be sticking Costa and Aguero and another in a treble every weekend. I mean, you know, maybe that next game week, what I was just talking about with Swansea away at Stoke. I mean, you've got City at home to Tottenham.
Mm.
So he won't be that short, I don't think, Aguero. Won't be like your kind of 1-2 sort of price. Chelsea away at Palace, you might get a tiny bit of value on Costa. So maybe Aguero, Costa and a Bony in that as a treble, an anytime goal scorer treble. I think you'll get a decent little price for that.
Yeah.
For the notebook.
Well, one for the notebook.
Or the head.
I'm sure you'll revisit that at a later date.
I'll probably forget myself now.
Oh, dear.
Yes.
Let's look at some betting anyway. Starting with the Premier League 2014-15 outright market. Chelsea, 1-2. No real surprise there. They're just running away with it already, aren't they?
Yeah.
Man City are 11-4. Man United, 10-1. Arsenal, 16s. Liverpool, 25s. Tottenham, 66s. And then you can have three-figure prices about everything else. 500-1. Or bigger for any other team.
We're saying every week now, aren't we, it's Chelsea's to win. Radio stations, you hear pundits saying, oh yeah, they've won the title already. Hear it all the time, and I agree with it. But it doesn't mean we can't question that slightly. I mean, 1-2 is very short, bearing in mind it's only October.
Yeah.
Things can happen. Teams can go on the wane a little bit. They can, you know, maybe lose a star striker or whatever else. So it's probably worth looking at and wondering, are we seeing some value here on Manchester City at 11-4? Haven't played that well so far, but then, you know, this season mirrors last season in a lot of ways. Obviously, Liverpool slipped away. But, you know, even in April time, Liverpool were odds on to win the title and Man City were a decent price. So, you know, Chelsea have still got these games after they come back from Europe. So far, they've managed to draw 1-1 at City and beat Arsenal on the return from Europe. Next up in Europe, they've got Maribor, and then they play Manchester United away. You'd imagine they would beat Man United because Man United are kind of getting away with it a little bit still, I think. And then the following Champions League game, after that, they've got Liverpool away. Now, if they come through those two games unbeaten still, I think we are really starting to talk about them winning the title, because chances are they won't lose a home game all season. They've only lost one in God knows how long under Mourinho, of course, against Sunderland last season. And then it's just a case of, you know, getting through the away games. And, you know, they've already played City. They've still got, you know, Arsenal to play away, still got Tottenham to play away after they've got through the Man United games and Liverpool games. So, I mean, it's hard to make an argument other than them just suddenly disintegrating, which is unlikely to happen with Mourinho at the helm. So I'm trying to find an argument, but I find it pretty difficult, Mark. I mean, I don't know what you think. I mean, 5 points clear of City already. Will they drop 5 points during the season?
Yes, it's only October.
Yeah.
They have to play.
But I mean, City got to win every single game from now on if they win five. So effectively, you're needing them to drop, what, 9 points?
Well, you mentioned Chelsea's tough games after Europe.
Yeah.
They draw one of those games and City win, then the points are down to three. The difference is down to 3 points. Yep. They still have to play each other later on in the season.
Yeah.
I just think if you're looking at two teams at the prices they are, which it is down to two teams, then Man City must be value at 11-4 because if the points come down to three and then later on in the season we're talking about City against Chelsea as a title decider or whatever, then if you look at the match betting, you're not going to get 11-4 about Man City in that game. Injuries could cause problems for Chelsea. Yep. It's just far too early to be taking 1-2 about a team winning the title for me.
I tend to agree. I mean, you look at, I mean, the running towards the end of the season, if we take it from kind of mid-April, they've got Man United at home, Arsenal away, Palace at home, Liverpool at home, West Brom away and Sunderland at home. So there are some really big matches in there. Man United, because you'd imagine Man United by then will be somewhere near, you know, the top four. You think they'd be consistent enough by then, especially if they strengthen in the transfer window. Arsenal obviously always going to be a difficult game, and then Liverpool obviously a tough game. So three really big games from the middle of April through to early May. Mm-hmm. That's tricky.
And then you look at the other two teams in there. Teams that could be fighting against relegation, the likes of Crystal Palace and West Brom. We saw that Sunderland got a result against Chelsea last year when they really needed to. Those kind of games trip people up without really taking them into consideration to start with.
Yeah, totally agree. I mean, no easy game, etc. in the Premier League. The same run of fixtures for Manchester City. You're looking at the only really big game they've got is in terms of a top side is Tottenham away. But again, you know, they've got QPR, they've got Swansea, they've got Villa, they've got West Ham, and they've got Southampton last game of the season. I think they've got the easier running, personally.
Do, yeah.
So again, you know, if it's tight towards the end of the season, if it's tight mid-April and you're looking at, you know, who's going to win it, then you probably argue that City have got the best running. Don't expect either of them to still be in the Champions League by then.
No.
To be honest. As good as Chelsea are, I just think they'll concentrate more on the Premier League. So yeah, in terms of value, 11-4, but you know, in terms of if we were talking about non-betting, you'd probably say Chelsea. You'd favour Chelsea.
Yeah, you
so
would.
1-2 is too short.
Just Man City at 11-4, if you want a real maggoty each way bet, it's a third of the odds place 1-2.
Yeah.
You're only just losing a small amount if Man City even finish second.
Yeah,
whereas
true.
If they win it, you've got a nice little payout. So
yeah.
As a value play, I'd say Man City in that market.
Because no one's going to break the top two.
No.
I can't see that. Arsenal aren't good enough. Liverpool don't look good enough. And obviously Man U probably haven't got the kind of consistency to manage that.
Their defence is still a massive problem as well. Yeah, they need to strengthen big time in January.
Agreed. We've talked about this the last few weeks, Mark. Finally, the traders have cut the price of Chelsea going unbeaten all season. It was 16-1 for about 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Even after they've been to Man City and not lost. So they've beaten Arsenal, of course, and now they're 14-1 to go the season. I'm not saying it's a great bet. I'm just saying it's an interesting bet.
Yeah. If you got on at 16s and you wait these next couple of weeks after the Champions League, tough ties after the Champions League, then I think you're laughing.
Yeah.
Or you're definitely in a good position. You're not laughing, obviously. It's early October. But
they look so strong, don't they?
Yeah, but that price is only going to shorten, basically, isn't it?
Yes, it is. So. Yeah, indeed. The other one, the other markets, not that I've got anything much to say about them, but worth having a look on the specials pages, the team multiples, so you can bet on how many trophies each team will win.
Okay.
For instance, Chelsea to win the Premier League and the Capital One Cup, 3-1.
Mm.
Not saying it's going to happen, just worth having a quick look at those. Man United, Premier League and FA Cup, 40-1.
Not for me.
1-8, no trophies.
It's the right price.
Yes, it is indeed.
Because they've only got the FA Cup, they can win.
Yeah. It's worth having a look at these specials pages because you tend to find a few nice markets just pop up now and again. Usually the press team puts something out there. That's where all the manager markets live as well. You've still got the next manager for Fulham on there in the Championship, and the next manager for Bolton as well, and the next manager to leave in the Premier League, Alan Pardew, still 8-13.
Has he saved himself with that draw?
I don't think the manager's the owner's that keen on getting rid of him, to be honest with you.
I think he already would have got rid of him if
yeah, I think so, yeah. I think, yeah. The players are playing for him, Mark. There's one thing you can say about Newcastle's players. They've not chucked it in at any point over the last 3 weeks when all this has been going on.
Yeah.
In fact, they've fought back a lot of times and managed to, you know, keep themselves in games. And obviously with Cissé coming back to life with two goals in each of his last two games... a 2-2 draw at Swansea, that, you know, they would have just chucked that in, wouldn't they?
Mm.
If they weren't trying, they would have just chucked it in. And, you know, the same with the cup game at Palace, you know, they kept going. You know, I know they gave away the goal to go into extra time, but then they were the ones who were really pushing it in extra time and got the extra time winner. So, yeah, same with Hull. You know, 2-0 down against Hull and they came back to draw 2-2. Same situation with Swansea when they were 1-0 down, 2-1 down. So I think they're still fighting. Again, it's probably one of those markets where the value lies elsewhere. Harry Redknapp's shortened, I think, over the weekend. He's 2-1 to go.
Mm-hmm.
There's some interesting stuff on Twitter over the weekend. He's basically said I don't know if he was blaming the pre-season that they had and the tour that they had, but he wasn't talking about it in particularly glowing terms. And Danny Simpson, former player, came out on Twitter and basically said, I think his tweet had two words in it, and I think it was something along the lines of absolute bollocks. So that's pretty damning of what Redknapp was saying. So
he didn't strike me as a happy man at the weekend, Harry Redknapp.
No,
he was
never seems happy anymore, does he? Used to be such a jovial chap.
Yeah, he's under a lot of pressure. He didn't even do the transfer deadline window.
Nah, disappointing. And there's no one else in there who I think's in desperate trouble. Although I suppose history would tell us that promoted managers who then have a bit of a bad spell at the start of the season seem to get sacked unfairly all the time.
Mm.
So I suppose if that's going to carry on, Sean Dyche at 16-1 might be the value.
I can't see him sacking him.
Obviously, they shouldn't sack him, but there's a lot of people have been sacked after getting the teams promoted and then struggling in the Premier League. So I'm just saying, I'm not saying he will go, but you know, it's probably big when you look at managers who've gone in the past having got the teams promoted.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to the next market. It's a top four finish.
Yeah, not this a lot of value, is there?
No, it's a tricky one because Chelsea are 250-1 on.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, which is the most nailed on bet I've ever seen. If you're rich, Man City 100-1 on Arsenal.
That's the second most.
Yeah, Arsenal 4-11, Man United 4-9, Liverpool 11-10, Tottenham 7-2, and then 12-1 or bigger for the others. You've got to look at Liverpool and Spurs, Liverpool and Man United there. Sorry, and Man United are too short. Can Liverpool sneak into the top four at odds against?
Yeah, I think they'll improve as the season goes on. At the minute, Liverpool are on 10 points. Manchester United are in the top four this morning, aren't they? Only on 11.
Yeah.
Not much in it, is there? Tottenham also on 11. I suppose, you know, given the league positions at the moment, and given the fact that Tottenham probably won't have... I don't think any of these three will have... Well, obviously, Man United won't. I don't think Tottenham or Liverpool will have any European commitments much post-Christmas. Given those league positions at the moment, you'd probably have to go Tottenham at 7-2, wouldn't you? Because they're such a big price, you know, where they are in the table and all the rest of it. But I don't really trust them enough. I'd take Liverpool at 11-10 over Man United. There's not much in it, obviously, but I think Liverpool will improve as the season goes on. Only a point behind Man U. I was looking at the run-ins. Man United's last 11 games feature a home game against Tottenham, away at Liverpool, home to City, away at Chelsea, away at Everton, home to Arsenal.
That's a tough.
It is tough. Liverpool have got three of those of the big six teams to play in their running. So again, Man United, I mean, it's quite rare for Man United to have such a hard running. Normally, they, you know, they just play like under 14s, don't they? They just get like QPR under 14s to play for somehow.
What are you saying, Lee?
It just always seems that way. Hello it to does, yeah, Man United. It, you know, I'm joking, Man United fans.
Yeah.
But you know, so Liverpool probably got the easier running if they are close. Again, same thing with the Chelsea Man City situation.
Yep.
Given that, given the fact, I think Liverpool got a bit more improvement than Man United have got to come. 11 to 10 over 4 to 9, I'd get, you know, there's not much in it though. I just couldn't back Man United at the price.
No.
Yet.
I could. David De Gea saved them, spared their blushes at the weekend.
And the same with the West Ham game. You know, they're getting better, they're getting a bit more confidence, but they could have easily drawn that game against West Ham.
Yeah.
And they could have drawn, but they didn't. You know, it's all right saying, no, they could have done this, they could have done that. You know, as we often say, teams who get wins, who don't play particularly great, a good team, you know, it shows a lot of character and all the rest of it, but maybe it's a little bit more luck than character. Great save though, that last one, wasn't it, particularly?
Oh, unbelievable.
Where'd the hand come from?
Yeah,
like bing,
it was good. Yeah, real
I put up both teams to score in the first half. I think it was 7-2. I missed the
right
penalty
at the, yeah. Right at the end of that.
I felt like I'd hit the post, Mark.
Yeah. Right, top half finish then, because there's not too much else to say about the top four market. Similar situation in the top half betting, not too much given away here. Liverpool 100-1 on, Tottenham 33-1 on, Everton 10-1 on, Southampton 7-2 on, Swansea are 8-11, Stoke 13-8, West Ham 2-1, Leicester 5-2, Hull 11-4, and then 3-1 or bigger for the others.
Yeah, I look back over like the last 5 years, 5 or 6 years, to see what you needed to finish 10th. Last year, 49 points, 46 the year before, 47 in 2011-12, 47 again in 2010-11, and it was 50 points in each of the previous two seasons, so that 09-10 and 08-09. So just to give us an idea of, you know, it's a fair few points, isn't it, to be honest? I mean, I was looking at Leicester. Leicester on 9 points already from their seven games. It's still a lot to go. You know, if you think about how many points you actually need there, 38 games in the season, you know, you're talking about, you know, five times the points total they've already got is 45 points. I'm not saying they're going to do that. I'm just giving you an idea. So they'd be there or thereabouts if they carried on the form they've had. Now, they've played a lot of the tough teams early on, Leicester.
Yeah.
But then they don't seem to be picking up the results against the teams they should be picking their points up against. So, you know, it's a tricky one. But, I mean, Leicester at 5-2 is probably worth having a look at. The other ones, I mean, you look at the teams who are quoted here. Hull, there's Leicester, there's West Ham and Stoke, who I think are the only ones who I trust to do that. I know Villa have been doing pretty well so far, but I think Villa are a little bit soft in the middle. Benteke obviously hasn't had a pre-season, so I'm not going to trust him to get the goals that he's got in previous seasons. Could even pick up another injury. Sunderland, too many question marks. Newcastle, obviously, you know, they've got all sorts of issues going on. Palace, West Brom, QPR, Burnley, not finishing the top half. So, you know, Leicester now have got Newcastle, they've got Swansea, they've got West Brom, we've got, you know, Southampton, they've got Sunderland, QPR, before they start playing any of the big six again. So I think, you know, we'll know pretty soon. I just love the manager. I love the fact they've got Leonardo Ochoa. I love the fact they've got Cambiasso. They've got some very good players in their Vardy. They've got players who can go out there and attack the weaker teams. So, I'll probably go Leicester. I could see West Ham doing well though with the strikers they've got. You know, they've got some really good strikers, and I know they've not won many games, but you know, unlucky against Man United there, I think. And they only really started playing this new system of football since the 2-2 draw at Hull. So you know, if you think about that, so that's the first game they really went for it. They got a point there. So since then they've only lost 1 of 4. Before then, they were playing that kind of kick it and lump it football where the fans were going mad about it. Really, they've drawn with Hull, they've beaten Liverpool, they've beaten QPR, and they could have got a draw out of Man United.
Yeah.
So, you know, West Ham at 2-1 might be another one who are worth keeping an eye on in that market. I think that's an interesting market and one of the only outright markets where there's any value.
Yeah, I was going to say West Ham myself. I think this is a strong West Ham side compared to what they've had in recent years.
Yeah.
I think a top 10 finish should be a target for them this year, and the players that they've got compared to recent years. You know, you look at Enner Valencia, who's got that little bit of quality we saw in the World Cup. You've got Andy Carroll, if he ever gets fit, he's going to be a handful. You've got Zarate, who has impressed me so far. Saka scored at the weekend.
He's in great form at the minute, yeah.
I think Song was a shrewd signing. Noble's a good player for them.
The other one who they've got, who I really like, is... if you just scroll down, this guy here, Cheku Kiato, who's playing in midfield. Everyone was raving about him. Just picked up an injury and was going to be out for a few weeks. But everyone was raving about the Senegalese player, the kind of player who maybe Arsenal should have taken on. You know, I mean, maybe he wasn't proven enough. But, I mean, usually he doesn't pick up many injuries. You know, he had full seasons at Anderlecht for the previous three seasons. And I really like him. Hopefully this groin strain isn't anything too serious. He isn't back till early November. But I think the strong mark, I think they've got a base where they can build from, West Ham, and Valencia is a blockbuster player. Mm. He can win you a game from nothing, whereas I think Sacco is more of your finisher, and I think he's already targeted to score a goal in every home game. Sacco, he said, I'm going to score a goal in every home game. So, I mean, I don't think he's quite lived up to that yet, but his shot to goal ratio is brilliant. Okay. 5 already for the club. So, West Ham at 2-1. I think if you can make an argument for any of those, Stoke, West Ham, Leicester, Hull, then I think you can find yourself a little bit of value. I'll probably just favour Leicester.
Okay.
But obviously, it's worth saying that, if you could back a couple of those to finish in the top 10. You don't need all of them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that doesn't really work for a podcast.
I was just counting them up. Oh, obviously, they haven't put City in. It's funny, they've put Liverpool in there for top half finish, but they haven't put Manchester United or Arsenal or Man City or Chelsea. It's a bit disrespectful to Liverpool, isn't it?
It is a little bit. Although they have put them in at 100-1 odds. So.
Yeah. But just naming them in the market's a little bit cheeky, I think.
as if Liverpool aren't going to finish in the top 10.
They will. We're coming up with it. I think if we have the 100-1 on Liverpool to finish in the top 10, Chelsea top 4, well, you know, I think that's a decent bet. Yeah. Nice double.
Yeah. It's value almost.
I'm not sure about the value.
Let's go to the other end of the table. Relegation market for the Premier League. Burnley 1-3, QPR 4-6, Crystal Palace 7-4, West Brom 2-1, Newcastle 3-1, Sunderland 4-1. It's 9-2 for Aston Villa, 9-2 for Hull as well, and Leicester, and then 7-1 are bigger prices for the others. So according to the betting, QPR and Burnley pretty much already down. Can you see any value in this?
Well, I was against Crystal Palace at the start of the season. Wasn't very keen on them, even when Pulis was still there. I've gone on about this quite a lot. Just didn't think they'd have the goals in them to survive this time round. Now, to be fair, you know, before the weekend, the three games before that, they scored 2 against Leicester, 2 against Newcastle in the Cup, and 3 against Everton. So, maybe that's maybe not quite right. I think maybe you could make some excuses. Everton, we know, have been leaking too many goals. And, you know, they were in control of that game, you know, before the penalty was given away. And Jednak scored, and then Palace got this, like, got a real good lease of life. They have got some pace. Scoring 2 at Newcastle, against Newcastle at home, probably not the biggest thing in the world in the Cup. And then Leicester were kind of coming off the back of that 5-3 win over Man United and maybe took Palace a little bit easy. Kind of went back to how they had been a little bit against Hull. Hull beating them 2-0 at the weekend, which is a really good result for Hull. Got them back on track. No shots on target for Crystal Palace, which is a worry for them. And that's the worry I had pre-season. I don't think they'll continue this form. You know, they're on 8 points now, so they're 4 points above the relegation zone. I think 7-4 is value for them to go down. Not a massive fan of Warnock's management in the Premier League, full stop. So I'd be looking at them. Not massively keen on West Brom over the course of a season, although Alan Irving seems to be getting a bit of a tune out of them at the moment and saying all the right things. I think at the moment, the way things are going, I think Villa will get dragged into it as well. I don't think they're as strong as people have been making out. Again, for me, Mark, it's all about goal scoring and shot creation.
Yeah.
And Villa are right at the bottom of that table. And Palace traditionally have been, I think, they're the third worst goal scorers in the Premier League last season. And I don't really see it improving that much. They're trying to play this counter-attacking style away from home. Obviously didn't work against Hull, and I think people might get wise to that. I don't think they're quite good enough to be able to trust their strikers. You need, when you're playing that system, you need strikers who are clinical, and you need to make enough chances to be able to score them. I don't think Palace have quite got that quality in their ranks. So I'm gonna I'll go with Palace at 7-4 and stick by what I said. They've had an average per game of 4 shots on target per game, which isn't terrible, but it's 14th in the Premier League. Villa, an average of 1.4 shots per game so far, Mark, over the course of their matches. That's 10 shots on target in total so far this season, which is rubbish in 7 games.
I think it changes, though. You bring Benteke back when he's fully fit. They missed Agbonlahor this weekend because he fell ill in the warm-up.
Yeah, it was unfortunate.
So I think Villa will be okay.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about Palace.
They'll go close though, mate. Well, 15th, 16th the last 3 seasons. I think they'll be that, you know. I think if you're back 9-2 now, I think they'll be shorter than that, you know, come April, personally. But, you know.
The advantage is they've had a relatively good start. So you're getting a good price about them when they will be involved.
Already got 10 points.
Yeah.
Palace to pick for me.
For me, QPR are in trouble.
Yeah, they're not improving anywhere near enough, are they?
4-6 is fair enough about them. West Brom at 2-1. A couple of weeks ago, I'd have probably said they were in massive trouble. They've had a few good results, but I still think they're going to be embroiled in it. And as daft as it seems, Newcastle at 3-1. They've got all kinds of trouble going on with the manager. You mentioned that the players are playing for Alan Pardew, which is more of a worry than if they weren't, really, because if you brought another manager in and the players then started playing, they might get out of trouble. But if they are playing and they're just simply not good enough, then they're in a bit of trouble.
Yeah, I get that. That's fair enough. And, you know, they're conceding, you know, they've conceded 102 shots on their goal so far, QPR, by the way. Newcastle, interestingly enough, are a lot more solid than that. When you look at how they're doing defensively, they're just around the same mark as Chelsea. Obviously can't score as many goals as Chelsea. And better off than the likes of, you know, Stoke, who you'd say traditionally were quite a tight team, and better off than Tottenham, better off than the likes of Everton and Burnley, who we think have been quite tight. Newcastle's always seemed to manage to put a run together that gets them out of bother, but I wouldn't argue too strongly against that.
Their results in 2014, though, it's not just this season they've been in trouble. They've been in trouble for the whole calendar year.
You're right. Yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah, it's not good. Let's flip that around then and do to stay up. Stoke 1-33. To stay up. West Ham 1-16, Villa 1-8, as are Hull and Leicester and Sunderland. So forget about all them, no value in any of them. Newcastle 2-9, I think that's a terrible price.
Yeah.
West Brom 4-11, Palace 2-5, QPR 11-10, and Burnley 9-4. So can you see a case for QPR or Burnley? So those are the only two odds against prices.
It's an awful market, isn't it? It's an awful market to look at and try and. You can't back any of them. The only two you can find are those two. It's hard to see, but they just haven't got enough goals in them, Burnley. I know they scored, you know, at the weekend, obviously. But I think they'll have it all on just keeping teams at bay. Love the manager. I think Sean Dyche is great, and I think the way he talks about the games, the way he inspires his players is brilliant. I just don't think they've quite got the quality, and they've got off to a bad start already. You know, when you look at previous seasons, and I've done this a lot, you don't tend to find that teams change that drastically. You know, I know Palace did it last year when Pulis came in. But that's quite rare that teams suddenly gather more points than not after 10 games. Whatever they've got, if you multiply that, you know, with the number of games, I think you're going to get somewhere near what they're going to finish with. Unfortunately for them, I don't really think they're going to do much better. I mean, you know, 7 games so far, you multiply the points total, you know, by the number of games we're going to be, and you're only talking about, like, you know, high 20s, really.
Yeah.
Low 30s. I know it didn't work like that, but.
No. But here's my little theory on Burnley. I don't know why I keep trying to defend Burnley. I did it on the podcast last week.
I like them, though.
But Danny Ings and Sam Vokes, when they're fit, will score goals.
How many though?
Yeah, but they scored so many last year. They've got a good partnership.
Much different defences, and they've been injured as well, haven't they? You know what I mean? I don't like relying on strikers.
In both of them coming back.
Yeah, true. Yeah, you're right. I mean, and that's what Burnley fans are pinning their hopes on. Enough to get them out of bother though.
Well, they've got three of the next 4 games are at home, and they don't concede a lot of goals against the teams around them. They might only need to nick a goal to survive, and they only got to beat the teams around them. So.
Yeah.
I just think 9-4 might just be a little bit generous about them staying.
I hope you're right.
I mean, I could be completely wrong. You know what I mean?
But I mean, three worse teams than them, what would you go? You'd probably say QPR,
QPR
Palace.
Are in a lot of trouble. I don't know about Palace.
You're not as convinced. Who Newcastle, you'd obviously favour then to go down.
At the moment, I think West Brom, Newcastle, QPR, you can throw Palace into there. I think they're all going to be in a lot of trouble this season. Mm. Aston Villa are going to get dragged back into it, like you say. I just think Burnley might have at least some chance of fighting against it. They're not dead and buried yet, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I think, you know, that what you said there, fight, that's their key weapon. You know, if they can get those guys back and fit and firing, they will have the fight. They'll have that thing that Palace had. You know, I sometimes think with the bigger clubs, in inverted commas, they're not ready for the fight. These guys won't have any qualms about battling their hearts out for the manager and all the rest of it. So that's what you have got on your side. You know, if you're back in that 9-4 for them to stay up, then you're going to get a run for your money, I think. You know, because they're not going to be chucking it in every week. They're going to be trying the hardest.
Yeah.
Is there any way, will they get bigger than that, do you think, to stay up? Just looking at the next few fixtures, West Ham, Everton. Would you leave it, Mark, until after the Arsenal game, just in case they've not gotten much out of the next three? Might be bigger than that. Or would you rather just take the price now?
Well, if they don't get anything out of the next three, then my opinion changes drastically,
fine.
Because right. They are in a lot of trouble then.
Yeah.
But if they get something against West Ham, which isn't impossible, they could get a result against Everton, who are struggling a little bit. Arsenal's a tricky one. And then Hull City at home, I think that's a winnable game as well.
Okay.
And then they go to Stoke, maybe get a point, and they start to look a little bit more solid. So if that's the case, they won't be 9-4 anymore.
Fair enough.
But if they start drifting, it's because they're in a lot of trouble, so... It's take your pick, really. I'd probably play it now and hope that they have a turnaround.
Yeah, okay. I get that. I'm not going to argue too much with it either.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
I could be completely and utterly wrong in 4 weeks' time.
That's betting.
That's betting. to finish bottom, QPR at 9-4.
Yeah, they look poor, don't they? They do look poor. You know, they're having shots on goal. You know, I was looking at the stats, you know, that they've been conceding an awful lot of shots on their goal. They had 10 shots against West Ham. 3 on target, 3 off target, 4 blocked. Just need to start scoring at some point.
Yeah.
That's the value, I suppose. I mean, 11-10 Burnley. I think it's about right, Mark, to be honest, where we are at the moment. I'd like to be as positive about Burnley as you are, but... I don't see it, and I don't like trusting goal scorers who've not had a pre-season or have already picked up fairly serious injuries early in the season.
Yeah.
I don't think they ever regained the fitness. So I'd probably say I wouldn't have a bet in the market. I think Burnley will finish bottom.
All right, well,
unfortunately.
Well, back Burnley. I have a 10 on Burnley to finish bottom at 11-10. I have a 10 on them to stay up at 9-4 and hope they don't finish 19th or 18th.
Yeah. Nice. I like your tactic.
Yeah. Watch them finish 18th now. Let's have a look at one more market then before we go. Top goal scorer. This is an interesting market because Diego Costa, obviously flying at the moment, got a whole hatful of goals already. He's 8-11. Beyond him, Aguero's 4-1, who's got a remarkable record of goals to games ratio in the Premier League. Daniel Sturridge is then 16s with Van Persie, and then it's 20s for Falcao and 25s or bigger for the rest.
Mm.
It's a quarter of the odds place 1-2-3. So you take Costa out of the mix and you find somebody to place and you're doing all right. You're making a profit, basically.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I've had a look back at... I mean, I'm sure this market used to be top four. It's been a bit stingy, given there's only top three in the each way market. In 2000, last year, third place in the top scorer charts was 20 goals. 21 the season before that, 23 in 11-12. 18 goals were scored by the third best striker in the league. In 2010, 2011, it was 24, 16, 24. So you're looking at low 20s giving you an actual chance of getting into this. So I guess you've got to kind of then look, right, who have we got who can get, say, 20-plus goals this season? At the minute in the Premier League, the list looks like this. 9 for Costa, 5 for Aguero, 5 for Berahino, 5 for Ojoa, 4 for Cisse, 4 for Sacco, Chadli for... Jelovic, Naismith and Pelé all got 4, then 3 from Di Maria, Rooney, Diame, Dyer, Schneidlin, and the list goes on and on and on. I can't really trust Sturridge to replicate what he did last year because he hasn't got Suarez next to him, and I'm not sure about his injuries. Missed 18 games last season, 14 the season before. He's already missed a few this season. Not sure I could have him. 16-1, fair enough. Falcao at 20-1 looks nice to me. A quarter of the odds. You know, Falcao, you look at his record over the last few seasons. He scored 24 in 34 games for Atletico Madrid in 2011-2012. He scored 28 in 34 for them the season after that. For Monaco, last season, he got 9 goals in 17 games. I've said this before. Three of those were after he came back from a serious cruciate ligament injury. He got injured after the three, so obviously I don't think he was fully fit when he came back for the three. Had a little spell off again, and then played 14 games straight till the end of the season, scored 9, effectively that was 9-14 in my book. Great ratio. So already scored 2 before he made the move this season for Monaco, 2 in 3, and finally got off the mark. He's had so many chances already to score. I'd be looking at Falcao, 25-1 to finish in the top three. He'd be my pick, I think. You can have a look and see, you know, what the shots to goal ratio is like. I mean, Kostas is brilliant. Shots per game so far, he's had 3 shots per game, 22 shots in total, scored 9 goals.
Yeah.
That's amazing, isn't it?
Should be 10, he missed a sitter on the
I know.
Weekend.
Yeah, well, he was offside though, wasn't he, in the end?
Is that right?
Yeah, he was. Yeah, just offside. But yeah, he should have been. But, you know, he will score plenty for you. That's the thing, I guess. So I think it's worth working that out and having a look and seeing who you think is going to be, you know, up near the top. Who's going to get that many chances? Well, we know Falcao will get chances. Mm-hmm. The big doubt is whether he'll play up front every game. And I think he will.
I think they've decided he will.
I think he will. I think Rooney might drop in a little bit.
Percy will be set to either side.
Yes. So I you know, we know he's a great finisher. He's had lots of chances. He should have more than one goal so far, Falcao, to be honest. So yeah, I'll go Falcao at 25-1, 20-1. What do you think?
I like Falcao. I think Aguero at 4-1 is a punt to nothing, because he'll get 20 goals this season. He might not be top goal scorer, but he will get 20 goals. Sturridge, if he's fit, his goal record is phenomenal for Liverpool. 16-1 is a fair price about him, but it's how long it takes him to get fit, isn't it? Danny Welbeck is ridiculous. I mean, to consider him as a top goal scorer in the last few seasons, you'd be barking mad, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
But 33-1, he scored a hat-trick in midweek, didn't he, in the Champions League?
Yeah.
We saw Thierry Henry go to Arsenal, and Arsene Wenger turned him into a prolific goal scorer when he wasn't really before. He had a terrible time in Juventus.
Yeah.
If they can get anywhere near half of that with Danny Welbeck, he's going to be involved. And I just think 33-1 might be a little bit big, but you're taking a chance on him improving in front of goal quite markedly, aren't you?
Yeah, yeah.
But he's going to be playing through the middle. He's going to be getting a lot of service. Arsenal will put a few past a lot of teams in the league. Maybe at 33s he could be a bit of value, but yeah, I'm taking a chance on him turning good, really.
Yeah, no, it's a fair enough shout, I think. You've got to look at someone who's going to get chances, and he will get chances. Giroud's not back for a while, and even when he comes back, he might not be firing. The other thing is, I think with Arsenal, I don't class the Chelsea game as a normal game, because Chelsea, as we've already said in this podcast, just make them look crazy. I think with, you know, Sanchez and Welbeck up front, with Ozil playing just behind, I think we might start to see that become quite a productive trio. And he will get chances, just got to finish him. But yeah, I can see where you go for him. It's a big price for someone who's going to be the main striker for Arsenal.
Well, that's the thing, you've got to look at the teams that are going to score a lot of goals and who's going to be on the end of them.
Yeah.
So who's going to get most chances, basically.
Yeah.
You just got to hope he converts. If he converts 1 in 3, he'll be nearly get 20, won't he?
Yeah, so. Yeah. Just looking at the shots per goal, I couldn't find it before for Falcao. He's had 11 shots so far. So I mean, he's 16th in the shots per game table. Players in front of him, likes of Di Maria, Torre, Sterling, Berahino, Lukaku, Jutkovic, Dzeko, Costa, Rooney, Austin, Cranchar, Welbeck, Pelé, Aguero and Balotelli. So you know, and you know, he's not far off being right near the kind of top six in that table. So he's getting the shots, he just hasn't been scoring the goals. But 1 in 3 games so far, came as a sub for one of them. Yeah, Falcao for me, 20-1 each way.
Okay, just while you were saying that, I've been looking through Arsenal's goal tallies for the last few seasons as well. 72 in 2012-13. 2013-14, so that's last season, they got 68,
wasn't it?
68 goals. Yeah. So
they score plenty, don't they? Someone's got to get him.
Yeah, and he's going to be the focal point of their attack.
Yeah. No, I like that. Like them both. And if Costa gets some sort of terrible injury, God forbid, Aguero 4-1 is a great bet, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And that's what I mean. Like, even if Costa doesn't, you're still going to get your money back on Aguero, because he's going to hit 20 goals, isn't he? And he's going to be involved. He's going to be in the top three somewhere.
Yeah.
Unless it's a freak season where there's 4 or 5 players on 20 goals.
You know, and even then, you're still going to get dead heating, aren't you? Yeah. You know, that's the danger of these markets. But I think it's a bit of fun, you know, at this stage, having a bit of a look at an each way bet, and it gives you, it does give you a run for the whole season. And every, you know, it's a bit like your fantasy team, I suppose. Every season, you can, you know, every game that goes by, if they score, you feel like you, if they win, you know, if they score and you haven't backed them, you still, you still give it a little bit of a cheer because it's another one ticked off on the way. Like it.
Okay. Out of all that, what are you most keen to put up?
Out of all that, I quite like the Leicester to finish in the top half bet at 5-2.
Okay. Nice bit of value.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Like,
all right, Lee. Thank you very much.
Cheers, Matt.
Good luck with all that, and you'll be back at the weekend, I imagine.
Yeah, well, Thursday we're going to do it because England are playing on Thursday evening, so we'll be recording bright and early on Thursday morning and getting it out there. So tune in for all the international games, Euro 16 qualifiers.
Okay, good stuff. Tune in for all of that, and thank you for listening.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.